As I had prepared this message this morning, I was deeply just convicted by the state of the church. Not necessarily the state of Central Baptist, but the state of the church as a whole, and many who would fall under the banner of Christianity. We find ourselves living in a sphere where people are comfortable with knowing the bare minimum about God. And this morning my prayer is that as we go through this message, you'd be exposed to the fact that it is the duty of the Christian to grow in his knowledge of God. Our text for this morning is taken from Matthew 22. And if you have your Bibles, you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. And we'll start our reading from verse 34. So that's Matthew 22, verse 34. And it reads, "But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.'" So God, as we gather together this morning to sit under the reading and the teaching of your word, I pray, God, that you would use me. Lord, in my own capacity, I understand that I am unworthy of the task. But Lord, it is the enabling power of your Spirit within me and the righteousness that, of Christ that clothes me, that makes me able to do this task. God, I pray that even as I speak, that your Spirit would guard my words, and that, Father, your Spirit may even do a ministry in the hearts of those who receive your word. God, I pray that true life change may come from the reading and understanding of your word. And God, please help us to be students of the scriptures, that we would grow in our knowledge of him. For I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our title for this morning is, "To love him, to love God is to know him." You may not know it, but we are currently living in an age of growing spiritual ignorance. More and more people are okay with not knowing the fundamental truths of God. To make matters worse, there are some who are even confident that a life can be attained by living without being a scholar or a student of the Bible. You see, the battle of doctrines and philosophies is one that will go through the ages. And the sad truth is that there's some who are sitting amongst us who will lose this battle based on the statement, "Ignorance is bliss." I recall a time when I was still in high school, to get to my maths class, we would go around what felt like we were going around the whole school. But it only felt that way because I was a very healthy youngster. Now, this was only a problem because to get to the maths class, we used to go through the grade 8 class, and that took half the time. If you know anything about us healthy people, is that where there's a shortcut, we will take it. Now, for many years, as I grew up in the school, we would just go through the grade 8 class, but it happened that we became a distraction to the grade 8s, that the leadership of the school said, "You know what, we are banning you guys from going through the grade 8 classroom." Now, thinking about the journey I'd have to go around, I said, "You know what, being the rebel that I am, sorry, that I was, I had purpose that I will go through the grade 8 classroom, but I had an alibi in my back pocket. I had told myself that if anybody found me going through the grade 8 classroom, I was going to say, 'Ah, I'm sorry, sir, I didn't know that we're not allowed to.'" You see, the truth is we all know a teenager or we all know a child who walks around carrying the same alibi in their back pocket. They are ready to do something bad or to do something naughty, and they're ready to come and say, "Mommy, Daddy, I didn't know." Can I be as bold as to say that there's even some adults today who still use this alibi and say, "Oh man, I didn't know." An example for those who are pleading innocence is a culprit. I won't mention the gender. A culprit goes into the fridge, opens the fridge and grabs a piece of chicken in the late hours of the night and enjoys it. In the morning, the culprit says to his wife, "Honey, I'm sorry, I didn't know it was for lunch." You see, when Jesus Christ was speaking here, the lawyer was trying to catch him out. And this lawyer comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, which is the great command of the law?" Jesus' answer is brilliant. He says, "The first and the great commandment is to love God." In all honesty, Jesus Christ could have answered this question by using his God voice and say, "The greatest command is, behold, the Lord your God is one. Love him with your all." But Jesus Christ wanted to remove the alibi from this lawyer. And he says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." You see, what Jesus Christ was doing here is he was making sure that that this lawyer would not come back to him and say, "Oh, but Jesus, I didn't know." You see, the Apostle Paul, when writing to the churches, countlessly said to them, "I don't want you to be caught unaware." This morning, the purpose of this sermon is that you too would not be caught unaware, that Jesus Christ wants you to love him with your mind. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 11 verse 25, he says, "Church, I don't want you to be unaware concerning matters of your salvation." In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, he says, "Church, I don't want you to be unaware that it is the Spirit of God who is leading you, and it is the Spirit of God who gives you the gifts that you have for ministry today." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8, it says, "Church, I do not want you to be caught unaware. You will suffer persecution for the sake of Christ, and I want you to know that it is coming. Don't be caught unaware." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 11, he says, "Church, I don't want you to be caught unaware of Satan's devices. The devil is at work. I don't want you to be caught unaware." Jesus Christ, when he answered this lawyer, he basically answered and said, when it comes to the law, as you are saying you are a law keeper, when it comes to the law, I do not want you to be caught unaware that you are not only to love God with your heart, you are not only to love God with your soul, but you are to love him with your mind as well. Now this morning I chose to focus on loving God with your mind because I honestly believe that it's commonly overlooked. And the fact that it is overlooked, we neglect the fact that there is certainly a problem with the mind. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 1. And I want us to look at the problem with the mind. Romans chapter 1, we'll start our reading from verse 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, has been clearly perceived, even the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Growing up, my mother always used to warn me that Jabu, the mind, is a silly thing. As an older person today, I can confirm that the mind really is a silly thing. How do I know this? There's some of us sitting here this morning who are thinking, did I close the bathroom window when I left? There's some of us thinking this morning, I wonder where's Pastor Charles? You see, the reality is that our minds are prone to wonder, as the famous hymn writer wrote. And there is a problem with the mind. R.C. Sproul puts it like this. He says, a great problem we face today is not that people are not convinced that God exists, but that they can't stand the fact that he does. Albert Muller says, a modern crisis is not that which we do not know, but it is what we will not know. You see, when Paul was writing here, he says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power, his divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since, not just today, ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So man is without excuse. All men know that God exists. Did you know that the term atheist only came into prominence by the time of Queen Elizabeth? You see, before that, people weren't really debating if God exists. People believed that there must be a supernatural power, but the biggest debate was, who is he? Or as they would say, who is it? You see, before God revealed himself to all men through what we would call today general revelation. I think it was two Fridays ago, we beheld the wonder of the Creator as the moon before our eyes turned red. The world sees that and they must say, there must be a Creator. In a few weeks, we're going to be packing away our coats. We're going to be packing away our boots, our hats and scarves, replacing them with shorts, vests, flops and skirts. Because spring is coming. You see, seasonal change is also a declaration that there is a God. God has declared that there will be different seasons. God had declared that there will be different kings in power, different presidents in power. All of this is evidence that there must be a God. The whole world today sits in the classroom of wonder. The Lord, through his divine revelation, has taught the world about himself, but the world has denied it. The problem is with the mind. The mind has been corrupted. Verse 21 of Romans chapter 1 verse 18, he says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. The world has rejected God. I want you to consider the state of the world in the times of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that before the Lord God brought the great flood, that the thoughts and the intents of men was wicked. Everything that men thought, everything that men did was wicked. I want us to fast forward a little bit to when the nation Israel had left Egypt and were in the wilderness. And they had rejected God. The nation Israel created a golden calf and said, this is the calf that led us out of captivity in Egypt, and this will now be our God. The God that they had created with their own hands. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Fast forwarding a bit further, we consider the times of the judges, and it says, men did what was right in their own eyes. Fast forwarding to the church at Corinth, we read that the church, that the city of Corinth was just filled with immorality, was just filled with sin that is no different from our world today. I want us to think about our world today. My heart really goes out to our brothers in Zimbabwe. Innocent people were shot in Zimbabwe because of the fallen state of man. Women today are abused and raped. Children are kidnapped. And crime is just constantly on the increase because of the fallen state of man. In verse 24, it says, therefore God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. Why? Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. It is the unregenerate man, it is the unsaved person who hates doctrine. Stephen Hawking, a famous atheist, says there must be no God. There is no afterlife. Listen to what he says. He says God and heaven are a result of a popularized fairy tale because people are afraid of the dark. Because people are afraid of a reality of something that's coming after death, they've created a fairy tale. And that's what he says. In Romans, it says they have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. The enemy, who is the devil, is called the deceiver for a reason. He will persuade your mind to believe a lie about God. He will persuade your mind to believe a lie about this world that we live in, that this world is getting better, that we're headed towards a utopia. He will persuade your mind, and he will lie to you about yourself. You see, because of man's rejection of God, he has given them up to the devices of their own minds and wicked hearts. They pursue their own passions. They do that which is shameful because they are filled with unrighteousness. There is a problem with the mind. What is the solution? I believe the solution is to love God with our minds. What does this mean? This means that we are to renew our minds. In the same book in Romans, famous passage, Romans chapter 12, it says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As Christians, we need to remember that because of the fall, we need to constantly be saying we need to renew our minds. You see, because the mind had been corrupted, in Genesis chapter 3, we read about when Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, that they were ashamed and they knew that they were naked. Surely something must have happened to the state of their minds and their stance with God. In shame they fled and hid themselves from this man who they enjoyed fellowship with, from this God whom they know created them, and decided to play the blame game, resisting to take blame for their own sin. The solution is that we are to renew our minds by agreeing with God. Agree with God about the state of your heart, that your heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Agree with God about the state of your mind, that your mind is prone to wander and drift away from the reality of God. Agree with God about the world, that this world is dark and it is in need of a savior. Agree with God that this world is passing away with all its riches. So therefore, Church, my encouragement and my challenge is that we are to repent. Change your mind about your sin. It is actually bad and its consequences are horrific. Transformation comes by the renewing of the mind. If we are to discern the will of God, it is required that our minds be renewed. But the sad thing is that a fallen mind wants absolutely nothing to do with God. So we need to acknowledge God as God. The problem that Paul was raising with the church at Romans is that the church in Rome was that they didn't want to acknowledge him as God. Church, acknowledge God as God. A simple statement, yet so true. Remember, we didn't come to God because we are wise, but because he is gracious. We will never renew our minds on our own strength or based on our own ability because we are heavily reliant on the Spirit. It is God who transforms the former man to the new man. So therefore, seek after God. Jonathan Edwards says, it is the main business of the Christian to seek after God. Return to serving the Creator rather than the creature. Return to the truths of God and abhor the philosophies of this world. In Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, starting from verse 6. It says, therefore, as you received Christ the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elementary spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. You see, we have a problem in the church today where we will have people doing things in the name of Christ that aren't really biblical. This problem is because they have not searched to know for themselves what God has revealed about himself. Paul, here pleading with the church at Colossae, and I pray that this would be the prayer of our church, that we would seek after God. Jesus was not just propitiation for sin, but he revealed God to men. He revealed the very glory of God to men. It says, in him the fullness of deity dwells bodily. If you have known the Son, you know the Father. Please, 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 do not be caught out by philosophy and empty deceit making the rounds today. But be rooted in your knowledge of Christ. Be saturated and camp in the school of God. Camp in the Word of God. Acknowledge that Jesus is God. He is complete authority. He is the Savior of all who believe in him. Therefore, walk in him and be established in your faith. Consider these two questions. How is your theology? How is your doctrine of God? To know God is to love him. Nothing bypasses the heart if it doesn't bypass the mind. The more you search the scriptures is the more you will intricately seek after God. The more you will love him with a burning flame of compassion. A man and his wife, I'm not married, so I got this from a married couple. A man and his wife grow in their love for each other the more they get to know each other. The reality that they aren't gonna leave each other, the reality that they are together forever drives them to intentionally get to know each other. The reality that God is always with us and God will forever be. The reality that as children of God we are going to spend eternity with Him, this should spare us, should drive us to want to know Him more. The great God, this supreme God who created everything, wants to know you. And likewise, He wants you to know Him. I'm reading a book called Knowing God. And I'd just like to close by reading a paragraph from the book. It says, "The God who is there for us to know is the God of the Bible, the God of the Romans, the God revealed in Jesus, the three in one of historic Christian teaching. We realized that knowing Him starts with knowing about Him. So we studied His revealed character and ways and come to know something of His goodness and severity, His wrath and His grace. As we did so, we learned to re-evaluate ourselves as fallen creatures, not strong and self-sufficient as we once supposed, but weak and foolish and indeed bad, heading not for utopia, but for hell unless grace intervenes. Also, we saw that knowing God involves a personal relationship whereby you give yourselves to God on the basis of His promise to give Himself to you. Knowing God means asking His mercy and resting on His undertaking to forgive sinners for Jesus' sake. Further, it means becoming a disciple of Jesus, the living Savior who is there today calling the needy to Himself, as He did in Galilee in the days of His flesh. Knowing God, in other words, involves faith, assent, consent, and commitment. And faith expresses itself in faith and obedience. Jesus Christ's answer to the lawyer is the great and first commandment is that you are to love the Lord your God, not just with your heart and not just with your soul, but also with your mind. A poor knowledge of God will lead you to a poor application of His truths. Christ is looking for students who will study His word to know Him and to love Him. Let's pray. God, I am just so grateful for the fact that, Lord, You had revealed Yourself to us. This great God who created the heavens and the earth, who holds all things in His being, is knowable. We thank You for Your word and its inerrancy. We thank You for Your word and its truth. And I pray, God, that we would be diligent students of it. That, Father, when the world comes with its philosophies and its teachings, let us, Lord, not be deceived, but stand firm on the truths of Your word. I pray, God, that even when there's difficult things, like, Lord, we read this morning, there's some things that might be difficult to understand. But we thank You for Your Spirit, Lord, who enlightens our hearts to the truths of Your word. So, God, I pray that You'd help us. Help us, Lord, to grow in our knowledge of You. And in this way, we can love You better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.